Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima, although, as you know, we are not at the moment talking about Fatima, but talking about another apparition that is very important for the Church, especially in this continent, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Last time we already spoke about the facts, what happened, and how the Virgin appeared to Juan Diego and asked for a temple to be built, because for the Aztecas and the Mayas, it was very important to have a temple. As a matter of fact, the first thing they did, the Aztecs, when they came to that lagoon that is Mexico City, they built a temple. That's the first thing they do. That's the first thing they did. To build a temple to their God. So the Virgin comes and very much inculturated and asks for a temple that would gather millions. Guadalupe is the sanctuary, is the Catholic sanctuary, more visit in the whole planet. So a temple that gathers millions. And that's very interesting. There is a place where many people come to manifest their faith, and some come without faith and go back with faith. So we already spoke about the facts. What can we say about these proofs that the Church always looks for? So it is said that the image was imprinted in Atilma. It has been analyzed many times. It is said that it has been analyzed by scientists, and skeptics, and they are all amazed at this image. The source of the pigments remains unknown. They are not natural, not animal, no vegetable or mineral. There are no brush strokes, sketches or corrections. You know nowadays that those analysts of these paintings in museums like El Prado de Madrid and other museums that have old paintings, they can analyze those paintings and find out almost everything about it, like Sherlock Holmes uncovering a crime scheme. So they are all amazed at this image. The fabric of the tilma is a vegetable fabric. It comes from a sort of cactus, and it should last only 20 to 30 years, but it stayed mint for almost 500 years without being treated, without the preservatives. To this day, the image has not ceased to amaze us, and lately it has been discovered that Our Lady's eyes on the tilma, it is reflected the image of what happened historically, that in the pupils of the eyes A photographer discovered the photographic image of the Indian Juan Diego unrolling the cloak in front of the bishop. So interestingly, is and as I noticed already before, that this image itself, it reminds us of another image that was imprinted in a fabric too, the Shroud of Turin. The Shroud of Turin is also an image, the image of Jesus imprinted in the in that shroud. And so what is was hidden in the eye of the of Our Lady of Guadalupe, it was only discovered after the photography was discovered. And so there is like this photograph inside the iris of the Virgin, what took place that day that Juan Diego opened his mantle, his poncho, and showed it to the bishop. So it is said that this hidden image for centuries and was discovered after the discovery of the photograph, which again reminds us that most of what amazes us nowadays in the Shroud of Turin is what it has been discovered after the discovery of the photograph. Because the Shroud of Turin, what you see, I did see it on the year 2000 in the millennium celebration. When you look at the Shroud of Turin, the color is like a whitish, brownish-whitish, and what you see, it's a negative, is a negative photograph. So I know that it's difficult to explain this in the time of digital photography, because all the photographs that you take with your cell phones, they come out in positive. There is no more negative photograph in digital photography. But in the old days, when you do a photograph and the photograph is imprinted in plastic, in film, then you take that film to be revealed, that the image imprinted in the plastic is always in negative. So what amazes us about the Shroud of Turin is when you take the photograph of the Shroud of Turin and you look at your negative is the positive of that image. Your negative is the positive of the Shroud of Turin. And of course, you know, negative images, you don't see much, do you? But in the positive is when you see everything. But in the case, the positive of the image of the Shroud of Turin is your negative, is your photographic negative. And when you look at it, you know, that photograph that we all know, that is a black background and the image is itself in white. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's what has amazed many people, still amazes many people. Paul VI, my Pope, used to say, when I look at that image, my heart tells me that he is the Lord. Yeah, so great things are said also of the image of the image of Guadalupe, and I let those things for the last program about Guadalupe. What is the meaning of all the small bits and pieces that image is constituted? That image, as I'll reveal to you, it's like an open book. And that image, it says a lot. It says a lot. I want to tell you in the last program. So the reason for the visit, you know, there is always, you know, Our Lady is not that she is fed up of heaven and sometimes wants to go for a walk or wants to exercise. That's not the point. But she comes down always a reason. And the reason is, of course, the evangelization of America. It was very difficult. The Mayans and the Aztecs and the Incas, they were peoples proud of their cultures and their gods, their temples, their pyramids. showed the civilization advanced for its time. And indeed, it was very much advanced. And so for this reason, they were not willingly to accept a foreign religion, especially because this foreign religion was something in common with the Aztec religion. It's all about a sacrifice, yes, about sacrifices. But the foreign religion is about God sacrificing himself for his people. Instead, the Aztec religion is God that requires many human sacrifices. Now, God requiring many human sacrifices is a déjà vu thing. It is present in all cultures. And of course, in the Fertile Crescent, that where Judaism and Christianity was born, there was this idea of the human sacrifices. Otherwise, if this was not there, if this was not a fact, we would not have in the Bible the sacrifice of Isaac by his father Abraham. And God rejects. It's a turn point. That human sacrifice is a turn point for the Jewish religion and maybe for religions in Fertile Crescent, that not anymore. God does not require, God does not want human sacrifices. Not anymore. So is a shift. Well, in the Aztec culture, that shift is not yet. It wouldn't happen if the Spaniards didn't come. So they were not ready for that shift that had happened almost 2,000 years ago in Israel, that the sacrifice of the primogenite, the firstborn, it says in the Bible, all that opens the womb is mine. That says Yahweh. All that opens the womb is mine. In the case of the animals, they had to be sacrificed to God, Yahweh. In the case of humans, in the old days, most probably they were also sacrificed for God, for Yahweh. But then we have a shift, and there is a substitution. And we see that in the episode of Abraham. We see that God says, no, don't kill your son. And instead, look around and you'll see a sheep to kill instead of your son. So you see the shift had happened long time ago in Israel. But here in the Aztec culture was not yet happening. And so the Christian religion came to do that shift and to finish human sacrifices. Well, all is said in this July 7, 2002, the then Pope John Paul II canonized Juan Diego. And in that day, his message was as follows: the Guadalupe event, as the Mexican Episcopate has pointed out, meant the beginning of the evangelization with a vitality that surpassed expectations. Christ's message, through his mother, took up the central elements of the indigenous culture, purified them, and gave them the definite sense of salvation. And the Pope added, consequently, Guadalupe and Juan Diego have a deep ecclesial and missionary meaning and are model of perfectly enculturated evangelization. These words are very true. Whether the event of Guadalupe was fake or not fake, these words are indeed true, are indeed very true, and they are all contained. Everything is contained, as I say, in that tilma, in that image, which we will gladly analyze in the last program about Guadalupe. So, Guadalupe or Tecualtzalzup, this is the meaning of the word itself, is not the meaning of the word itself, but Guadalupe said in the natural indigenous language, it means the one that crushes the serpent. And you see, our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, in many statues and pictures is pictured as with his foot, with her foot over the head of the serpent. And so in a way it happens also here, because in this case this serpent is an Aztec god. So an Aztec god that requires human sacrifices. As a matter of fact, in the 1487, due to the dedication of a new temple in Tenochtitlan, that is the capital of the Aztec Empire, about 80,000 captives were sacrificed in one ceremony that lasted 4 days. Mary crushed the serpent god Quetzalcoatl and guided the Indians to the one true God, to the God of life, not death, and to the God who sacrifices himself, who gives his own life for his people, and not the other way around. So if the image of Guadalupe, as I said, we will speak about it later, today, being that pregnant woman, the patron saint of the Americas, it's very emblematic. It's very emblematic and very interesting, because she's probably speaking against a big problem in this part of the north part of the continent, the abortion. It's a big, big, big problem. As her baby was trying to be born to the Aztec culture, and there were impediments for this birth. So there are many, many pregnant women in this part of the continent, as we speak, that are also pregnant, that should deliver, but there are impediments for that deliverance, and they killed the baby. They killed the baby. These women, these teenagers, they think that by killing the baby, they avoid being mothers. They are not avoiding being mothers. They will be mothers of a dead kid, mothers of a dead baby. And very convenient that Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patron saint of Americas, because in herself, presenting herself as pregnant is telling many young ladies. I am pregnant as you are, and I respect this baby, and I want this baby to be born. It's really being so civilized countries, United States and Canada, I can't understand how the law is so open that you can have an abortion just before the baby is supposed to be born, as it happens at least in the United States. Partial birth abortion, it is called. Partial birth abortion. And this is interesting. In this country, years ago, that came a law that if you kill a pregnant woman, you go to court and you respond for two crimes. But if she kills the baby, it's no crime. She can kill it, but you can't. Because, you know, because as they say, these abortionists, they say, it's mine, it's my body, I do with it whatever I please. In other countries in Europe, where I come from, abortion is also permitted, because this is a stupid thing of modern times. They say that the church doesn't follow the science, but these people are not following the science. It's the people, the normal people, that are denying science, because ever since the conception, there is a human being, and that human being only asks you to leave him alone, and it will grow into a full human being. But then the people are in denial of this fact. They deny the life of the one that has life. And they forget that they were once in that stage, and they were lucky. They were lucky that their parents didn't kill them as they now kill other babies. So abortion is in Europe, most of the countries, is up to 10 weeks. But here, 10 weeks is 2.5 months. Here, the abortion is at any time. And also, the fact that that you go to these counselors, and then they advise you to go to do an abortion, is because these fetuses are raw material for a big industry. They do all sorts of things, even cosmetics, with these fetuses. And so it's very sad that human parts are used in this way. And that's probably the reason why the law is not changed. The law is not changed because they need these babies as raw material for an industry. And that industry would be gone if abortion was illegal. So there you are. Our Lady of Guadalupe is in herself a cry out to this fact. And what amazes me is that many Catholics are cheated, I would say the word cheated, because these conservatives here in Canada, or the Republicans down, they all promise that they will do something about abortion. They've been promising it ever since the law was done. What they do is nuances. Do they do a radical change, at least starting cutting time, and just for 10 weeks? No, nothing really changes. What they do is they cut, well, if you want abortion, you do it by yourself. If the Republican Party or the Conservative Party is ruling, then no money for you to do an abortion. You do it out of your own pocket. Okay, well, there will be always money for abortion. So those are nuances. Those are nuances. They buy votes. They buy the Catholic votes because they promise. But those promises are empty promises, and we never see real change. So Our Lady of Guadalupe will be, for many years to come, a cry out against abortion. And that would be in itself already a very good thing. There are myths associated with the image. We go over them rapidly, because, as you know, the thing is that there are some certain things that are truth, but then the people increases, they inflated those truths. The Virgin's eyes move? No, they don't move. They look like really very human eyes, but they don't move as some people wanted to say. The image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, it's not imprinted in the tilma. It's floating over the tilma. No, that's not floated. The answer to these questions is done by Monsignor Eduardo Chavez, that was the postulator for the canonization of Juan Diego. So, is the image of Guadalupe an adaptation of a Aztec goddess? It has been said by some critics, of course, he says, no, it was not a way for the church to do away with idolatry and to establish, to put the Blessed Virgin Mary in the place of a goddess that was there before. About that, we will come again next time, and next time will be. The dark side of the moon. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm not going to hide those critics. There is a lot of criticism. There is also some criticism against Fatima. There is some criticism against Lourdes. But these are minor things. But in Guadalupe, it's a big, big, big thing, and I cannot hide it. I leave yourself to judge about the veracity of those things. But that is the next program. And the last one will be about the image of Guadalupe that I really very much enjoy telling you about, what all the meaning of the small things that constitute this image.
Have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.